Okay, great. Welcome to that. Today is the 8th of November, 2024. We're here for a special public hearing in regards to taxation. Excuse me, you have to bear with me tonight. I woke up with a cold this morning. I don't feel bad. I just can't talk. Absolutely. We're going to have a pledge and a prayer first to open the meeting. We'll do introductions, and then we'll go from there. So I've asked Amy Blake, she would lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance tonight, followed by the invocation from Lisa Bell. I'll make a quick introduction. My left, your right, on the end is Luke Bill. He's our auditor back in Iron County. Next to me on my left is Commissioner Merrill Wood. My name is Mike Blake. I'm the chair of the Iron County Commission. To my right is Bob Cousins, Iron County Commissioner, and our county clerk, John Whitaker. John Whitaker. I didn't know if I was going to be able to get it out or not. I'm like, come on, boys. Okay, so first of all, tonight, for anyone that wants to make any comment, there is a laptop in the back. We ask that you go, if you haven't already, sign into that laptop for comment. We're going to pull from that list to hear public comment tonight so that we're a little bit more organized. And that's just back there by the back door. I'm going to start out tonight basically by reading just a statement that we are required to read by law. It will hopefully explain a few things, add some details in it. Following that, we'll open the mic for some public comment. I'll kind of explain the rules to that when we get to that point. And then we'll answer questions. Tonight, we're not taking any action on this. This is simply a public hearing. We'll finish up the process, and this will be an action item on a regular November 25th. Regular commission meeting. So, Number one, Miami County is intending to increase the general fund property tax rate. The dollar amount of the increase per year, per year will be $1.2 million. The purpose of the proposed increase is due to the growing community and the need to enhance and expand essential services that support the safety, well-being, and quality of life for all residents. First, with our population steadily increasing, there is greater demand for public service, including law enforcement and legal services. Second, inflation has significantly impacted operational costs across the board, from personnel to equipment and insurance. The last time Iron County did a tax increase in the general fund was in 2003. In order to maintain and improve the quality of services we provide, it is necessary to adjust this funding source. The approximate percentage of increase on the Iron County General Fund tax rate is estimated to be 19.5%. This is only on the county portion of property taxes. In relation to property taxes as a whole, this is about a 2% increase. The tax on a personal residence valued at $418,000, which is the county average, that's the median house price in Iron County, would increase by $35.60 per year, or $2.97 per month. So, we'll open for public comment.
Okay, the first on the list is Michael Clark. Come on down. Want to make sure everybody can hear. Can you hear everybody? How dare you? How dare you try again to the general fund? When it failed last time, what did you do? You went sideways and it was a sales tax. Now we have truth in taxation, public hearing, held tonight, holiday weekend, Friday night, 6 p.m. in an hour. Was that on purpose? Was trying to sneak things by the county residents? Your last attempt, how dare you, because your last attempt to raise taxes resulted in a negative impact on our school board of residents. And you did it again this time. Right before the bond was come up to vote, what happened? You got the mail out about truth in taxation again, general fund being raised. But you're trying to sabotage the school board, the students of Iron County, just betrayed the educational interests of our students in school for not only prison, but now for the increase. You say the excuse is you haven't had a general increase in 20 some odd years. Well, I've been retired for more than 10. I don't get an increase at all. I can't even ask for one. And with the inflation that you mentioned as part of the cost, I have to make adjustments in my own spending. So my question to you is, when are you going to start living within your means in this county and in all government? We're overtaxed, overburdened, and you guys are overspending. Thank you.
Friday night during dinner hour that we would be having this meeting. And I think it was because the last time we had a taxation meeting, this room was packed. And now, of course, I think it's a sneaky way to get less people to complain. Now, here's my point. I remember I said $5.39, $2.97 per month. And I thought, okay, that's not too bad for most people, but it's not about the hamburger cost. And I'm talking about the water cost. The city did water. And so when you put all that on, you just have it. And if your mic's right, the school bond failed. And you know what we got? The jail shut down our throats. Nobody wanted my father's prison because it related to prison. Nobody wanted the prison to be the business of seniority. And we got that finally got the sales tax increases, only been like 6 months, and then we're back to this.
Can I ask everybody to hold their applause, both on either side? Oh, listen to me, this is, I forgot. All right, so. Next, but I told you that I would agree, that I'd lay out the ground rules, and I forgot. Each speaker is limited to 2 minutes. Please don't repeat what others have said. Please hold your applause on both sides until the end of public comments. What's to be said is to be directed to the commission without attacks on other people's character. Those are the general rules that we have for all of our public hearings, and those are the rules that I'm going to ask you to follow tonight. So,
moving on to the Solomons.
Yes, but we're going to, so you can ask, are we going to hold the questions or just answer? Well, no, we'll do our best to answer questions.
I think we're still going to hold it to the panel.
Because sometimes we write down questions and hold them until the end and answer them. But we'll do our best to answer questions as we go. Yes.
Also, as many of our talking to people that supposed to be happy.
So in government, we're only allowed to have so much money in savings that we can't raise taxes, so we have so much money that there's a limit we can have. We have to stay within that limit, but we do have a good fund balance every year, so we have enough savings, you know, something were to happen, we have money for that. But yeah, we try to about break even every year. We'll have an increase in that. But we try to stay within that range and not go too high above or too low. Pretty close, yeah. Some years we'll use some of our savings, and some years we'll add to that savings. We also have a capital projects fund where we put money aside for big projects that come up. So say one of the buildings needs to be remodeled, then we'll have some money for that set aside.
Okay, our big customer, and I think this is sort of what I've reported us, we are on 15,000 because we are so super in the city, and as it goes up, but you know, our property value goes up, and we cannot pay for it. Is the goal to pass this out of our houses to move out to the 70s?
No, absolutely not. There are programs through our auditor's office, treasurer's office, if folks are unable programs to help mitigate that that are already in place.
Because if this keeps happening, we're going to be pushing this level back to the point where we're not going to get to $10,000. By the way, our income will never go up again. And I spent my entire retirement paying for my mom for a long time. So if this goes down, I never get up. So it's something that I can think about, because there are a lot of senior citizens that can't afford this.
Right. And why is we do everything we can to work with those cases. There are abatement programs that are in place, that have been in place forever.
Come in and talk to Lucas.
The auditor's office is well versed in helping people mitigate these problems.
So, right now, I'll talk to the mom of all time. We're also people that are in the 3-year-old father. Helping pay this property taxes for years and years. His property taxes exceed the wages that he made annually.
And I'm also
my brother is old and has more now. He's helped for years. And he's been on 30 years retired. We see that possibly happening to a lot of people here who have the ability to pay and are no longer making any additional money. So that's our biggest concern.
Well, sorry, I was looking at more than tax abatements. Sometimes they piece it in that piece of the problem. Okay, well, who's the next one on the list back there?
Yeah, famously called you commissars. Remember that? Because ever since I got up here and spoke out against the jail, I've been hassled by your code enforcement and pulled over an excessive amount of times. Woo! I tell you what, I don't like your rules, man, because you guys forget about the Constitution. People have a right to say what they want to say, which doesn't fall in line with kissing your butt like I know you want, like you used to.
Dave, I'm going to ask you to sit down. This doesn't have anything to do with the issue.
I have a First Amendment right to say what the hell I want to say.
You do have a First Amendment right. We also, this is a public meeting.
You're under the Constitution, sir.
Dave?
No.
If
you don't get to make rules that violate the Constitution rights of everybody in here.
I will call on.
Of course you will. Of course you will, because you are law enforcement. Why don't you call code enforcement on me again? Huh?
Dave, this is outside the parameters of the public hearing.
I'm working on a federal lawsuit against these folks. You'll be served soon.
Awesome. Dave?
The next big speaker is Edward.
We need to fight these people.
Edward.
Good evening, my name is Ted Stephen. I have just a couple of short words. When I bought my home, my taxes were not reasonable, but available to be financed. They're almost 300% more now. My retirement has gone up 300%. I've been retired for 41 years. I'm struggling more in the past 3 years dealing with taxes and the increase in fuel and so on and so forth. You guys are killing us, especially a lot of seniors who have been retired at least one amount of time. So our finances are nowhere near the simple $35. I'm confused. I spent a lot of years in the military, serving this country, and all of a sudden, the county I lived in is stabbing me in the back. And it hurts like a pickings.
Okay, the next speaker is Rhonda Gardner.
Thank you. The question that I don't understand is that you've indicated that you use this because of inflation and also the growth in the city, but that's all built into the system of you getting a percentage. Because if you have a percentage rate, then like I was looking at my own property tax and the back to my records, and when I built a house on the property, the tax tripled. So that would just indicate that you got three times as much because there's another resident here. And then inflation, you automatically get an inflationary increase because property values keep going up. And I just looked at that from the time I built the house, which the first year of success was 2015, and my taxes have gone up a little over $50, but 30% in that time. So I explain to me why you need additional increases for the inflation and the growth of already built in the
This is a little bit complicated to kind of take the first step out of it. You can clean up my mess. So first of all, Iron County collects the taxes, but we only, our portion of property tax is about 10%. The rest goes to the school districts, your city, municipalities, water conservancy. So the way that it works is Iron County is allotted a certain amount of money through taxes. So as property values go up, tax rates actually decrease. So even though the property value of everything else goes up, the amount that the county takes in is the same. So the property value.
Is that percentage
drop? Well, because everything is static.
If everything is static. So yeah. It's wrong. But basically as houses, as values of houses go up, which has been exponential here, property tax rates actually decrease, which keeps us the same amount of money coming into our county. When those property values go up, we don't get more money. The only money that we get that comes in is on new growth. And just for instance, our revenue increase in new growth this year is about $200,000. New growth that we get as the county.
What are the main things that has to cover?
That covers roads, that covers law enforcement, that covers council on aging, fire, and everything. So, that new growth that we get, that $200,000, to just put that in perspective, that would only hire 1.5 police officers. That wouldn't buy a new piece of equipment or what's that?
They aren't anymore.
I don't understand that because this notice talks about the rate increase, but you're saying the rate changes everything.
Goes down, right? So I actually have at the end of this, I figured there would be questions on this. I actually have a few slides to go through after this to show the history of the tax rate and then what happens when values change and how that affects taxes. So I have that all.
Okay, the next speaker is Mrs. English.
My question is,
move people, this new construction site is multi-family complexes, and people who have sold very expensive homes from other states come through. Why aren't they just charged up front a higher portion to help these to cover what they want and the rentals that are increasing the needs for this community? And I think they should have a larger responsibility in providing for the improvements that are needed. These are, well, mostly senior citizens, mostly on the tire, a lot of us have aging parents who are taking care of, having to take care of them.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, we can't charge a higher tax rate for certain people or certain buildings. But when they do build a new building, that is when we do get the new growth property tax that Mike was referring to. So, like he said, this year our new growth was $145,000 in our general fund from new properties being built. And so they'll start paying property taxes, but we can't charge them extra in the first year. They pay the same property tax rate as everyone else, every property.
Charging them higher tax rates, charging them a relocation.
Right. Yeah.
So there is a version of that. It's called impact fee. There are some pretty strict rules about how impact fees are used, and the county really doesn't get impact fee monies unless it's in an unincorporated area. But that does kind of fall along the way you're saying. That happens in cities and also in unincorporated areas. But then the other end is that we have to be equitable with how we value and tax real property. That makes sense. We can't be like, well, you've only been here for 4 years, you're going to pay more. I mean, that's
okay. Maybe this isn't the right place to address it, but when people apply for building permits and people, these builders are determining the price of the homes for themselves, kind of condominiums, I just think elected officials should figure out a way where people who are relocating. I'm responsible for contributing to the services that need to be added for their benefit.
And make sure.
And yeah, and if I can, so you bring up a good point with building permits. So we do have building permit fees. I mean, there are the, you know, we can't charge an initial, like, moving in tax, but there are building permit fees, those type of things. And that really does help offset. That does bring revenue into the county so that we're not so reliant on just property tax. Property tax is one revenue stream, but we do get revenue from building permits. If we didn't, we wouldn't be able to function at all. There are so many different funds, and there's certain parameters on different funds of where that money can be spent. For instance, you know, there's a certain pot of money that can only be spent on public safety, whether it be fire or police. There's a certain percentage of money that can only be spent for assessing and collecting tickets. We do bring in fees. We bring in recording fees. We bring in building permit fees. Without those things, we wouldn't be able to function. So the increase to property tax is specific. And I'll tell you where that money's going to go. Specifically, it's going to go so that we can give our employees, that we can continue to pay our employees and continue to offer the health insurance. That's where this increase is going. The increase is solely going. We're looking at a very small cost of living increase for our employees this year that's numerous percentage points below the national average for cost of living, but it's what we can afford. Our employees are citizens as well. without them, the county doesn't run. And if we don't pay them a living wage, then we're.
And that's my point I'm trying to make, is the cost of living in Cedar City is much lower than it is in California, Oregon, Washington, all these other, large states and communities. And people have a lot of money and they want to relocate here, and it's increasing the cost of living for people who already live here. Is there not some way we can require them to contribute? I mean.
Legally, we can't do that.
We don't know, the builder has 50 condominiums, and now you have 400 more people. They're paying the same property tax. They're adding exponentially to the demand upon the services and infrastructure here. And you got, you know, that was some kind of controlled growth, and again, there's gotta be some kind of equitable way to take care of the people who are part of this community. My family, land ownership goes back to 1971, and value of the property lot only started increasing recently and exponentially. So that's all my idea for no thank you.
Go ahead.
Ethan Cato.
So the question I have though is related to, like, okay, we're all struggling on offerings. Question of word up, only plus percent of the last 3-4 years. My hope is that I have 100,000 plus employees working out. And I suppose that we could even send that somewhere else. And pre-order monthly talk, if you feel bigger, if you feel it adds up, my cost to me, you see benefits for my employer continues to increase. Just not like the existing income. My benefits are increasing, which would be the same for already done. So my question is, if this food infestation is not kind of proposal, it's not a foregone conclusion from you already, what is the inside the box thing to make you with less, do more with less? I have to do that every single day with my family, with my employer. I have, for example, I have to do with 12 people. I have had to cut 20% of them in the last few months. More penetrating, I thought it would be more. I have to be creative in how I find a solution to that. And it's multifaceted across many different areas. I work and I run essentially 128 staffing companies. Those are people that are telling me to do the right thing in the best way possible. But how is it coming to do that?
Do you have to pay those employees more money or less?
No. What happens with the Great Recession is we have a lot of people leave for about 12 days a month. And we had a lot of them coming back to a lower rate. I have not had any person, my team, I have not had a salary increase for 2 years. And it's 100,000 pounds. Okay, so now the profit. So I'm not saying that everybody's not at that point. Oh, to answer my question, what would you cut? What's the hierarchy you need? What's going to be cut in services? If this is going to be gone. And I agree that you need to be gone, but what is the deep here?
Go ahead.
Oh, I just, you know what, I've been in the commission coming up on eight years. We have never discussed a property tax increase, honestly, until last year. We have cut and scrimped for the 2003, it's been 21 years since there was an increase to this fund. The only reason we're here tonight is because we're over a barrel, but there is no more to cut. With the growth of the county, with our responsibility as government to provide services, we're stretched. There is nowhere else to cut.
So each of us commissioners have different duties in the county. We take on different departments, my job kind of knows, but just for instance, one of my assignments is the public defenders of the county, both the county of Fort this is just one example, but they are so busy that one of the judges said, look, you need to get that one hell or else, like, you need to hire another public defender for these people. And attorneys, you know, I think we pay them about $93,000 a year. They're allowed to, you know, do some site work to the bottom end of that, because their attorneys may have a lot of debt, but that's just one example. Is with our county growing, we can continue to have expenses with inflation. Our gravel's double the price, our oil's double the price, our gas is double the price. I ran a business for 33 years, older than my son, 6 years. I still have it. We've been going about 38 years, and it was interesting. We had a contractor call the other day and said, hey, you built a house for us, and you did his work in our house. 2013, and I look back at the records, and the bid on the cabinets for that wall was $31,500. My son just worked up a bid, exactly the same material, exactly the same everything, and it was $55,000. And so in business, when we have labor increases, and we have excellent employees, we have raised their wages. We've had to, and when we have, when you're in business, increased labor and materials, you have raised taxes. In the county's business, we're not a business. I suppose, I mean, this gentleman asked what we could do different. I guess we could close the landfill three days a week and now pick up fractions off. I guess we could try some of those things, but I think Mossdale and I think Rocky Ridge, I think some of these companies that depend on that as their livelihood would probably be rueful of having something to say about that. So, to buy a road grader in our road department is twice as much as it used to cost 10 years ago. Twice as much. So, when I was getting a haircut a while back, and I've used this before, so some of you heard this analogy, but I asked my barber, I said, how much were haircuts 23 years ago? He said, they were like $5 or $6. Well, the last time I was the barber with the tip was $25. We're running the county on $5 haircuts. We can't do it anymore. And I don't welcome anybody in this room. Mike and I's terms will be up in 2 years. I may run again and make up. I don't know what Mike's going to do. None of my business. But any of you guys in this room are more than welcome to file and run as a county commissioner. There are any one of you folks can do that. Because I'm telling you right now, it's not fun. This is the worst part of the job. I've been in public service for 14 years, and until we started talking about the jail, which we've been planning for many years, I've never moved public service taxes. I don't know why I like Chris Taxes. But what do we do? And you talk about buying hamburger. We have employees in this room that have to buy hamburger too. What are they supposed to do? We not give them rights? We have the state of Utah. They came out and we struggled to, there was a while there, it's a little better now, but there was a time that we really struggled with keeping sheriff deputies hired. And we would still struggle with our jail, with staff to run our jail. And we're down 5 employees right now. And because we're down 5 employees, we have to find other employees who will fill those shifts and pay them overtime. And so, it was 2 years ago, I think the state of Utah raised the highway patrol's rate of pay by $8 an hour. What do you think happened when they did that? Every one of our deputies in Iron, Washington County, they want to be highway patrol. They're making $8 an hour more. What do we do?
Washington County has also gone to that same wage, so we have lost quite a few of our people to them.
So we're competing with all of these inflationary factors, and we don't know what to do. I mean, we just don't know. We still have to get up every morning, plow the roads when it snows. We have to chip seal every road in this county that has to be chip sealed every 7 years. So, and you guys, I'm sure a lot of you don't know what that is, some may not, but you put an oil, a layer of oil down, you put chips down, you put another layer, and that saves the roads from wearing out. If you don't do that, the roads are going to fall apart, and it's extremely expensive to replace the roads. And so And those chips are twice the cost that they used to be. The oil's twice the cost.
Or more.
The labor's twice the cost. And so.
So we have the same 20 guys, and now we have all these other subdivisions. So we have the same 20 guys that we had 20 years ago.
So we're running the county, we're still running the county on 5-0 haircuts. So I'm open for suggestions. I don't know what to do.
What services would you be willing to cut as residents?
The new jail.
Yes.
What?
The event center. How about?
That's city. That's city. We don't do that kind of stuff. That's Cedar City. And I oppose that.
We took over the fairgrounds.
Right.
And that helps, the events help because they rent that. So Parowan was just going to close it up. They didn't want to put the money for it. And it was kind of an odd situation because the fairgrounds was Parowan. It was the city. And then the county, of course, had the fair. It's a county fair. And I think it's important for the county to have a fair to come together. We could eliminate that. We took that over, and it has been more money to run the fairgrounds because we're paying all the expenses. But we went in and cleaned it up, and my husband and I and some others helped do those fences for free. Every stick of that was donated because I knew we didn't have the money to do that. So all that, those fences and all the wheels and all of that were donated. Frank Nichols donated all of that. And we welded for a month straight and then put all of that up. The road department did come in and help us put those big overhead things up, the ranch entrances. But I just think it's really important to have a fair, but if we can't afford to, we won't.
What is that? What is that
board?
It is labeled as a
planning
center.
Oh.
So what is all that about?
I think you're probably talking about the planning, or so it's just been willy nilly put together when Parowan didn't have the monies to do that, and so it's just been kind of thrown together. So we felt like it was really important before we did any more projects on that or anything because there is monies. We have spent, you know, monies from the tourism dollars that we can spend on that, not out of the general fund, tourism dollars that we have spent on that, that we've been able to do some improvements. And so that, you know, that's been a really good thing, but we felt like that we needed to back up and plan what it's going to actually look like, because we've never done that. And so the county is going to put out an RFP to be able to plan the master plan on the fairgrounds, what it will look like, not in the next few years, unless we have a big boom, which I would love that. But it's been really a fun project to work on that. But we, like I said, we've never used the general,
A couple other things that I'd like to mention. I was elected 6 years ago, and I've been in construction all my life. And we did get some public money from a lot of different counties and municipalities got money. Our senior center was, because of a lot of growth in our county, was really overcrowded. It was about 5,000 feet. And I was able to get with a local contractor. We did an RFP, put it out and did it. A local contract for that work that we doubled the size of our senior center for the seniors to go and associate one with another. And we paid for that with the public funds. We just spent $900 tax dollars. And I'm proud of that. Another thing we did when I was first elected, we sold Pine County Home and Building on the corner of Main Street and Bitters Canyon Drive. Pine County owned that building. I'm not sure why we owned it. I'm not sure when they bought it. I think it used to be the old Iron County building. I think it used to be.
Yes.
But Frank Nichols. But anyway, we sold that building. We desperately needed more room for our road crews for their shop to work on their equipment. When they have to go down in the middle of the night and their trucks are cold and got ice on the windshields and the batteries are dead and they have to come by your snow, it's nice to have a facility where they can park those trucks inside when it's not so freezing cold. And so we built a new roadshed building, and we built that building for about $875,000. If you built that same building today, it'd be about $3 million because of inflation, and that was about 6 years ago. And that's helped our road department tremendously. That Maryland mentioned, we have 20 workers in the road department to do the work in the county, and we really should have 30. We really should have 30 dollars we have 19. And so those are just some examples of things we've done. We have been frugal. I grew up running heavy equipment, whatever I can. One of my assignments is over flooding in the county. We've had some years we've had these sponsors come through who were tremendous, and some years we haven't. But I think it was 2019, we had a really bad one. God decided to dump 6 inches of rain on Cedar Breaks and 6 inches of Erie Creek in the same 24-hour period. And I'm sure a lot of you remember that. In about 3 o'clock in the morning, it was bringing trees down that channel that were 30 feet long and this big around, and the effect, one of the trees got caught on the bridge and it started collecting debris and it overflowed the banks and it flooded flying out the subdivision. And we had cleaned those channels. The channels were cleaned, and we have a department. We have a full-time operator on the track hall that we have to replace or train in about every 5 years. And we have him work. So anyway, we have him work full time cleaning channels in our county, so that when we don't know when these things are going to happen, so that when they do happen, we're prepared. Okay. But it jumped the bank on that subdivision and deposited in some of those yards, it deposited about 4 feet of sediment in one yard. And our road crews worked for months. They hauled over 3,000. 18 wheeler loads of dirt out of that subdivision. We didn't have to, but we did. And we helped it. And so there's lots of things, you guys, that we have to pay for in this county. And for those in here that own businesses, you know that your expenses are high. I can't believe you haven't raised wages in 2 years. That's amazing. That's incredible. Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Did I hear you correct in saying that you're only getting $200,000 for your property?
Yes.
$140,000.
For this year is all.
In the general.
Yes. Now let me.
I'm just going to say, this lady and Mrs. English said that people coming from California. I'm from California. I'm a political refugee. I voted for Trump for many reasons.
Thank you.
But.
My name is Robert Comstock. I'm in the same boat as a lot of these folks. I'm just at the bottom. My taxes have gone up 30-40% in 2 years. 2 years. And California did want to implement an exit tax, which isn't fair to me because I've spent literally $100,000 on Rocky Ridge. So I'm supporting the community. And I feel your pain just like you folks. And honestly, you might not like this, but I don't mind this. What I mind is the $229 we just got charged to the school board a couple months ago. And I thought it was unfair that they had students coming up and saying, we need a bigger gym room. We need a bigger dance room. Well, they're students. They want everything for free. I want freebies too. They don't have, I don't think they should have a voice because they're not taxpayers. But we're not. I understand. But
we collect the taxes and we submit it. They get about 60% of the tax, we get about 10%.
Here's my point. Here's my point. All these folks here, do you look at your total tax bill? You don't just say, hey, it only went up $2. No. We look at our total tax bill, and mine's going up $200-$300 a year. Okay? So I've gone from 15 to close to $3,000. So I'm not far behind you, folks. Okay, and people, not everybody from California
is down on you guys.
I'm retired too, I'm on a fixed income. And I'm not getting any more unless my investments grow, which they're gonna grow with President Trump. Things are gonna get better under President Trump, folks. We were better off. So I'm not down on this one, I'm just down on the two or three that we've had this year. So.
Well, the sales tax, you see what I'm saying?
Anyhow.
We don't have to.
We're gonna catch up to you. See, in California, we have 2% every 6 months. I'm telling you right now, I still wouldn't spend a house in California. It won't be long before my taxes will surpass what I was paying in California. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, let me, we're gonna go, John, let's get back on track.
Speaker, please, Stephen Q. Stephen Q. Oh, he's good.
Yes. Okay.
And I'm seeing constant basis of offer.
You're being raised.
I moved here from California. I came up here ever since 1978, vacation, and I'm a big Tiapa. And what I'm seeing is everything is so ridiculously expensive that I came, I did well for a couple of years at the grocery store. I bring in $44,400 with my wife, and I'm permanently disabled. I'm 69 years old. My lifespan is very young because of dementia, and also, I should say, vascular dementia, as well as cirrhosis of the liver, which I inherited, not the brain. And the amounts that I get from Social Security and my retirement, I apply for a discount because I am disabled and total by Paragon. I make $400 too much. At what point, I have never had any children. My wife and I worked on the property. Never had a single child. And yet, look at the amount that goes in. And I understand it needs to come from everybody to support all the children. But there's a lot of things cut that aren't schools want more security. It's not stopping the shootings. What's going on in society? Why would we not look at it? These things didn't happen when I was a kid. Occasionally somebody would be in the next town and get cut with a knife. That's it. It's people that's allowed to grow up. You can't reprimand them. You can't touch them verbally or physically. Now the big crowd on TV is putting them in isolation rooms. What are the schools supposed to do? How do you stop? Where are we failing as a people if we become more and more technically advanced and we're regressing back to point? I don't understand. But I also don't understand why you guys can't see the people on limited income. They're going to be selling their houses. Where are they going to live? Homeless. We keep wanting to grow the city. I know Mayor Green ran under the ideology that he was going to grow Cedar City with maximum potential. Main Street, we don't have infrastructure. Where's the money going to come from when they need new sanitation? Where's the money going to come from when they need more water? We bought $30 million this last year for Barrow Junction. Aquifer. That water's been gone. Our aquifer was already gone 100 feet a year for the last 30 some odd years. People need to look at, they need to control our expansion. People want to move here? Well, then we need more jails. We need more police officers. We don't have what we need right now. And you saw the uproar you had about one, the jail. I remember all four rows being full. I wouldn't have known about today if it wasn't for when I was at the hospital seeing this article about this meeting tonight. Why was it more well published? If it was more well, more well published, there probably would have been a lot more people in favor of it.
Well, there was a notice mailed to every property owner with their property tax bill as well. Like the, someone had a yellow paper when they brought up. Yes, right there. That was mailed with all property tax bills.
Okay. All I can do is waste my opinion. Are we going to go back to when you hear the stories about people eating cat food because they can't afford to buy a can of tuna? I have to live within my means. It took a great job this year to place for good. $14,900. I haven't been to expenses, cocaine, dozens of them. I can't apply for the paper because I think $400 is too much. Where am I supposed to turn? I have to look at the findings. I can't just ask somebody else to get me. I'm frozen. Cola, you guys are asking, I think it was for a 19% increase, wasn't it?
110%. Okay, that's 2%.
Understood. And the schools are getting just a massive amount. I understand. We're failing as a species. So we keep hearing about shootings. Why are we not teaching children? You can't spank a child. You can't verbally reprimand. That's what we're failing. Law enforcement, I am very much in support of that.
I kind of let it go around the law, but you will ask you to.
Okay. Thank you very much, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. Okay, and then finally.
The school got 61% of my taxes, my property tax. The school gets 61%. Okay, my wife works for the school. She's a school teacher for 25 years in California. Our schools, I'm sorry, they're pathetic. Most of the kids are third grade reading level. I'm talking about high schools. And there is no discipline. They have, what do they have? Coaches. My wife has been taught self-defense. Self-defense. Not if, but when a student abuses her or attacks her. I'm sorry. Schools are failing here in Maryland. Thank you.
Mike King.
So what is your market value say? Okay, so your tax increase will be less than what that is. That's on a $418,000 home. So if your home is valued at less than that, less than what that is.
I just wanted to back up something you said. I'm a retired police sergeant from Las Vegas Metro, and the last few years of my career was at our background investigation section where we did background investigation on new hires. And sadly, we published a tremendous amount of officers from Utah.
We know. That's the last of those in the site.
I'll answer some questions. There are a couple questions on property values going up and things. I prepared a few slides to explain that. Hopefully that helps. Dave, could you run that slideshow? Everyone knows home values have nearly doubled for the last 4 or 5 years. And so everyone is thinks or assumes, oh, my value's going way up, I'm paying way more taxes, where's the money going? A lot of people ask that. So if you could go to the next slide. This shows the Iron County, so the general fund tax rate over the last 20 years, so back to 2003. So every year the tax rate will change depending on if values go up or down. If values go up, the tax rate goes down. So if you look at the start, which was 2003, the tax rate was coming down and values were going up. Well, when 2008 hit, the crash happened, home values went down, right? So that increase you can see is right after 2008. You can see the tax rate going back up because values were going down. So, and then it continued.
That makes absolutely no sense to my brain.
Oh, I got some more slides. So, yeah. So the last few years, you can see the tax rate's been going down, down, down. I mean, we're probably at record low tax rates right now because we're at record high values.
Clarify that that's Iron County 10%.
Yeah, this is. Yep. So if there was a tax increase, then the very last dot, like you say this year with the tax increase, then it would be a little bit higher than what it is. So go to the next slide.
Well, I don't understand that. Can I look at, I went back to my taxes and looked at the actual portion of those three things that you said they had.
Yes.
Done.
Yes.
And that went up 30% between 2015 and last year.
The rate,
the dollars.
Oh, the dollar amounts, okay. Not the tax rate.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
This will explain that too. So yeah, the tax rate is going down. So
the struggle is it feels just a little bit like voodoo, but it's like proportional and there's reverse proportional things. So this is a hope. We'll get there.
Yeah.
This one, but it is. Yeah.
Okay, so this is the first of three slides. So we'll say this is year one. In year one, we have three homes in this town. So one's valued at $100,000, one $110,000, and one $120,000. So the total value is $330,000. And this town needs $1,000 to operate. Okay? So to figure the tax rate, you take the $1,000 that they divided by the total value in that town of $330,000. So the rate is 0.3%. So each home, you take the $100,000 on the first home times by the tax rate of 0.3, that house is going to pay $303. The next home is going to pay $333,363 because it's valued at $120,000. And that makes up the total $1,000 that goes to the city. And now let's go to the next slide. Let's go to year two. In year two, let's say every home went up by 5%, 5% increase. Look at the tax rate. It went down from 0.3 to 0.29. So every home is still paying the same amount of taxes. Same $1,000. This town still gets $1,000. And now let's go to year three. Okay, this year, values go up again. First two homes go up by 5%. The third home goes up by 10%. So the tax rate dropped from 0.29 to 0.27. Now the first two homes, they're paying less money than they were the first year, the first 2 years. And the third home is paying more money because it went up by 10%. But the average increase in that town was about a 7% value increase. So since the first two homes went up by less than the average increase, now they're paying less than they did the year before. The town's still getting the same $1,000. They're just getting more from this home and less from those homes. Okay, so remember that. Any questions right now?
Okay. So last year, my home value is higher than this year. And the culture offices, the old home, you can put some come to everyone's property in a, I'm gonna say, this may not be right, in a different way. So in previous, in previous software.
Okay. So that would be the assessor's office. They're the ones that value all the homes or businesses in the county. Okay? So they, that change in value, say your home was worth $300,000 3 years ago, now it's worth $400,000. That varies on the market. So they would change that value, the assessor's office, based on that.
If we're appreciating every year, was there an error and did I overpay last year? Was I overvalued?
So I am not sure what your value was, but you can check that with the assessor's office. Okay. So, I mean, your value will change.
I'm asking about this specifically. I'm saying, if we're appreciating and the value of my home changed in total due to the parameters of the program that you're using, was I then because I overvalued last year, or did I actually appreciate it?
So on your home, it's everyone can contest their value. We send out a notice in July saying your value is $300,000 this year. If you think that's too high, you can appeal it. We hire a third-party hearing officer that will come in and look at your home, your evidence of why you think it's too high, and then they can lower that value. So that's what you would have had to do.
Yes, but I didn't have that feeling until I got to go this year.
Okay.
Okay. Speak to that just a little bit. Before I was the clerk, I worked in the recorder's office, which works with the assessor's office. The assessor's office has the responsibility to value each property every year. We're up about 55,000 parcels. I don't know how many structures. When I was there, it was 41,000. But there are, like, when you have your neighbor sell their homes, those get introduced to the MLS, the values get set. And then what mass appraising is different, like, if you appraise a house, you figure out what that house is worth, right? How many kitchens, how many whatever. And but then in mass appraisal you have tax like valuation areas. So like if you live up by the Cedar City Temple, your value is going to go way up, right? But if you live kind of where I live, it hasn't. Not quite in downtown, but I mean, kind of, my grandpa was born in downtown. But those areas they move, and so there's not enough manpower to appraise every property every year. And Commissioner Cousin is right. It happens about every 5 years that they revalue each property, but then your property resides in a taxation area, and so they fluctuate. So that might have been part of it, and then the explanation, I know that they did kind of change their approach this year. They've spoken about that in commission meeting. They're not here to defend themselves, and that's why I can talk about general principles broad strokes, but anyway, so their taxation areas.
So I have a question.
Their valuation areas. So that's an interesting challenge because, yeah, so the answer is maybe, you know.
No.
Well, I know. Well, you know, Commissioner Cousin says something that I think is astute, and that is, you know, you want to move here and then close the door behind you, and we've been seeing this for a long time. I've never seen it in high school. And so, you know, my parents bought their home, it was $41,000. I bought my first home, it was $85,000. And then I sold it to my tenant, and it paid off both of our houses. I mean, it's just silly. It's like funny money at some point. But that inflation, like, we have to respect property rights, which means people can come in if there's money coming from somewhere else, and they can build it up. And we are affected by the increases in values.
Yeah, watch your value really close when you get the notice.
The short answer is yes. You know, I mean, you want to make sure that you are valued correctly. And if you feel like you're not, then there is that process, the Board of Equalization. This lady's going to come to the
ball. Yeah, can we stay on point and just for the rest
yeah.
of this presentation without any more
sidetrack? Fair. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, you can see how the change in value. The town is getting the same $1,000, but it shifts house to house.
So every year, the tax rate will change, and the amount you pay to the town is going to change, depending on what your home does versus everyone else's home. Next slide, Jim. Okay, so looking at properties in Iron County, we have all of the homes and commercial businesses that are assessed by the Iron County Assessor's Office. There are also properties like utility companies, the railroad, mines, sand and gravel pits that are assessed by the state, the airlines. So they also all pay property taxes. What's happened over the last couple of years is their values haven't really changed or they've gone down, where our home values have gone way up. So it's kind of hard to see, but looking at the second graph, and this came directly from the state, showing Iron County, the blue portion is residential properties, and the orange portion is personal properties, which is assessed by the local assessor's office. So the gray and the yellow portions at the top are what are assessed by the state. So in 2014, there's a 12% and 3% between utility companies and natural resources. So 15%, they were paying 15% of the total taxes in Iron County. Now by 2024, they're only paying 6% of the total taxes in Iron County. So what that's causing is a tax shift. So there's not more money coming in from taxes, it's just that their values aren't going up like home values. So homeowners are paying more in taxes, and these businesses that used to pay 12, 15% of the total taxes, they're only paying 6% now. So we're paying a lot more, they're paying a lot less.
And I thought of that a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
So they essentially assess companies like the Railroad, Dominion Energy, Rocky Mountain Power, Union Pacific, all these companies that the state assesses. We don't assess the values, they do. I don't know how to say this nice, but they figured out that they can hire a lot of attorneys and pay them a lot of money, lobbyists, and they can try to get their values down. And we have one attorney that we hired in the county. We pay them hundreds of thousands of dollars to fight these big corporations to try to keep their values where they should be. But it's a constant battle, and we were losing that battle because it's a tax shift from like Luke saying, that when they used to pay a lot of tax, now they're not.
Yeah. So
the resident doesn't change. The cost goes up because we've got to make up the difference that they're not paying. That makes sense.
Well, that's why, I mean, a lot of you said I'm paying $300, $400, $500 more than I was 3 years ago. This is a lot of the reason why. You can go to the next slide. Yeah.
Right.
The ones
that
we're
referring to
that
have
received
our
reduced.
Okay. So,
and I would just remind everyone, we would do well to be reminded that these are the same.
Would you come to the microphone? Sorry, I don't feel like we're getting a little out of control.
I'm Stephanie Hill, and I just wanted to remind everyone, there has been this enormous shift of tax burden. But as it's gone from these companies, they're publicly traded companies, they're the ones that we have our investments. So they're feeling a fiduciary responsibility to us. But yet we're all, so we have to decide what we want to do. I mean, it seems to me, it's just, it bears repeating that these are publicly traded companies that many of us own if we have any kind of investment. So they are powerful, they do have these lobbyists, and these attorneys that are able to sway the legislature. The legislatures, this is happening nationally, but these are huge billion-dollar companies that we are probably invested in. So it's a fairly complex issue.
It's not
like those are the bad guys, because if you're getting dividends or if you're getting any type of payment,
you retire.
Well, in fact, what's the stock index gone up since Trump? Tremendous.
Yeah.
You're all up. And it's these same companies who are sticking into us on the backside.
Well,
but it's not a simple issue.
I would just say, I don't know, I can express my opinion here. This is not, and this to me is a question, I agree with you, except it's a question of equity, and that's what makes me angry about this on behalf of myself and all taxpayers, in that we have a smaller voice, so I would encourage us to reach out to our state legislators, you know, Senator Vickers, Representative Schiff, Representative Albright, and let them know, because what's happening is they're getting, you know, pressure from bodies that are hired by Union Pacific or, you know, Rocky Mountain Power or SkyWest Airlines, these big companies that, and we know, it bothers me that we have less voice.
We've talked, and we're blue in the face. We've met with the legislatures many, many times for this very issue, and it's difficult for them too, because they you know, they have lobbyists that you know, take those values down. It's not good for the residents by any means, but we have tried and tried, haven't we? We've had meeting after meeting with our legislature.
So just a look right here, this shows the real property, which is, you know, homes and businesses here, versus the centrally assessed and the gray, the yellow. If you go back to, say, just 2014, we'll go all the way back, home values were at $2.4 billion, and now they're at $7.5 billion. Utilities were at $384 billion, and now they're at $418 billion. So they've hardly gone up in value, while our homes have gone way up in value, causing that big tax shift. So, you know, everyone's, oh, the school, the county's getting way more money. Well, we're getting way more money from you, but way less money from them, get the same amount of money. You had a question? That's okay. One more slide, I believe. This is just another graph kind of showing since 2013. This is the tax part of the tax shift. Residential homes were 54% of the total taxes. This is statewide. And now, and this was in 2022, they were paying 67% of the total taxes. So showing that shift a little more clearly. We can go back to one slide. I don't know if John's head's in the way, but across the bottom. So in 2023, centrally assessed properties paid $1,670,000 less that year in taxes, just in that 1 year from the previous year. So that was made up by homeowners. Yeah, any questions on that?
I would just like to tell John, I got it.
Anything else? That's all I got.
There was a time, I don't understand it totally, but there was a time when the state imposed, so we have the certified rate, if our values go up, the rate goes down, like the chart showed. But there was a 5 year period, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but there was a 5 year period where the state of Utah imposed a, I think it was a property tax of some kind, for the school.
I think it's the state assessing, collecting for the state school.
And they assessed a certain rate, and they did not do the centrally assessed. It was fixed for 5 years. So, and I think in those 5 years, when our home values really went up, the state didn't do that.
Lower the rate.
And so that was part of the increase as well. So you look at the centrally assessed shift and that state, you know, shift, that's where a lot of, I think the rates went up, you know, but unfortunately.
So they froze their tax rate, was like froze for 5 years. So the tax rate stayed the same, but values have gone way up. So the tax rate should have went down. So if we're paying the same rate as we did last year, but our values went way up, we're going to pay way more money. So the state can froze that rate for 5 years. It's a small portion of your taxes, but they did collect a lot more money from that. That ended like 2 years ago.
I feel like they got money. So when we were
going through the issues associated with the jail, I really hated, I'm just bearing my soul now, the idea of paying more taxes to do the jail. But I liked, I would have liked But I hated less the idea of the sales tax increase. And the reason I did is because everyone shares that burden. It bothers me that we have more people living in our county. We have people who own homes and people who don't own homes. And yet we are bearing the burden as homeowners and property owners and business owners for everyone. Is there no way to take part of this and allow everyone to bear the burden as opposed to just property owners?
Well, with the jail funding, it turned out to be a sales tax increase of 0.3%. But I know a gentleman right now that is, he drives from Vegas, he stops at Home Depot, he buys 2x6s, concrete, nails, cinder blocks, and he's building his cabin in King County, and he's paying for our jail. Okay.
Yeah, it's much better that way.
Right.
So I'm just wondering, is there no way for us to allow people who are buying their stuff at Home Depot to help them?
Oh, good point. And so we do collect some sales tax. There's a limit, like that rate can't be increased. We do receive some increase in funding for that every year. And that has allowed us not to do a tax increase for 20 years. If without the sales tax, we would have to do a tax increase every year for the last 20 years, you know. So that is helping. But with the inflation and our costs going up so much the last couple years, outpacing that.
It's been, when we did the jail public hearing, it was brutal. But we knew that because we sat in meetings and meetings and gone through the jail and knew that our jail was full. And I wasn't comfortable about letting criminals go back out and have another crime. I don't know who, you know, if others are comfortable with that, but I never have been. During that public hearing, we had a lot of people from California say, oh, well, they increase ours just a little bit each year to keep up with inflation. Well, I know why the commissioners have not done that over the years. It's difficult. It's hard. That's why I didn't run again, to tell you the truth. When I get as old as I am, and you get yelled at that many times for roads or whatever else, it's hard. So, you know, the commissioners over the years, maybe they were afraid that they wouldn't get reelected. And that may be the case if they raise taxes. I wasn't worried about that. I knew we needed a jail. And I know that we need to fiscally pay for what we need in our county. And if we get yelled at, that's fine. But we understand because we sat through meeting after meeting after meeting and understand the budget and understand the need for the jail. We have the oldest jail that is operating, and it was difficult. When I had to re-up more county commissioner, it was before we had gone through the legislature and got that sales tax. So it's a hard job, I'll tell you that. And 4 years of it at my age has been hard.
Tax. So to speak.
Exactly. But I was willing to do it because I know the needs of the county and I love it.
Well, we appreciate your service. Your public hearing is kind of developed into a...
It is. I want to make one more point really quickly, and then we're going to turn. Just taking questions. So when we as a commission, and we as a commission, I'm going to include Luke and John, HR, department heads, other elected officials, we sat down and crunched numbers down to the dollar in every department to determine what our very basic needs were. And what do we need to keep flow? This isn't building in any padding. It's not building in a slush fund. we sat down and figured out, you know, do we do a 20% tax raise? And we're like, you know what, we can get by with 19.5, but we can't get away with 19. Right? We spent hours and hours crunching the numbers to see what our responsibilities are as far as services to the community, and 19.5% is what we have to continue services to the community. There's, you know, we could have said, hey, let's do 40% and we're good, you know, we're good to go. That's not the case. We're 19.5% because that's what we need to keep our county afloat. If you sit through the budget meetings that we have, we literally go line by line of every department in the county, and it's like, you know what, you guys came in $500 under budget last year, let's lower your budget $500 and try to get, or you went over $200, let's raise your budget, you know, $300 for this year. It's, we really manage it down to the penny. And you know, I just can't say anymore.
Everything's gone up, so.
I would never have, to, you know, I would have never considered. It wasn't even a thought in my mind that we'd ever have to raise taxes. This is, I'm going into my eighth year as a commissioner. Until the last 2 years, this is a foreign conversation. It's not even a big thing we've had to talk about before. But this year in our budget, you know, we've had requests, I think we had over 30 personnel requests from different departments that came in and said, look, I've got to have this. And I think in the end, we're going to be able to hire maybe 4 or 5 employees, 7 employees across the county instead of the 30 that really are needed. And some of those, you know, I would say half of those employees come from enterprise funds like the landfill, things like that. The total effect is general fund. So, I mean, we're really. Without this, we don't operate. This is a very bare bones of what we need to update. We've all lost sleep over this. It's not pleasant at all. This is the very least impact that we can, you know, that we can have on the taxpayers. I'm in the same boat. Again, as commissioners, since we've been able to raise wages, we've been able to, you know, keep our wages competitive. I don't know the last time that the commissioners got a raise. It was prior to my coming into the commission 8 years ago. We as commissioners, as everybody else in the county, we've been able to provide increases. We are the three that have never had an increase. And every year we talk about it, and things are tied at my house. This is, you know, up until very recently, this has been my primary source of income. I've worked 2 part-time jobs on the side to make ends meet. But to keep your taxes down, it's more important to me not to take an increase, because an increase to my salary affects everybody in the county. I chose this, so I need to live with it. That's my 2 cents. We have a couple more questions. Let's go right here, Madam and Gray.
No, I think
question. Come up to the mic so we can hear you.
Maybe tell us your name.
Even a little bit louder.
So remember, we had saved up money, but much of that money, not much, but some of that money was actually COVID money, that was federal money. That was the capital projects for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the behest of the citizens, we actually went to the legislature and Representative Shipp and Senator Vickers helped shepherd through 480D, which allowed for the sales tax.
But the short answer is no. Federal dollars don't fund correctional facilities. But for
we have asked from every different place, the legislature, they throw so much money for recreation and all those fun things, but we got not $1 from any of that.
So jails are interesting in that regard because there is money that happens, but it's on the tail end and it's with house prisoners. So, but the federal inmates, remember, they're housed between conviction and sentencing, so, and then the state inmates generally the ones that help us with our facilities, like laundry and kitchen and stuff. And we get money for those each day.
But no big pots of money. There's a hand over here.
He asked a quick question. I was wondering why it went on the ballot, or if it's not a voting issue, or
this one. This.
Explain the truth and taxation.
You want to know the truth?
Okay. So truth and taxation is it's actually an extra requirement that wasn't there previously. When Luke talked about the levy, like there are different levies on your tax bill when you own property, right? And so, and we are one of the general fund. And so that general fund is a fixed amount, and the only way it can go up is through that new growth that Luke explained. But when an entity wants to increase that levy, which is what the commissioners are working on now, then they are required to go through this process. It's not put to a vote like that. There are bonds that are put to a vote. Or like last year, there was a group that was going to force this onto the ballot before we kind of changed directions. And that's you can refer an action of an elected by any action that a board of commissioners or a city council makes. You can refer that to the ballot, but there are guidelines for that. But for this in this instance, there's no other method to get it on the ballot. This is something that other than the public hearing and the consideration of your elected officials, this is representative government, there really is, it doesn't belong to them. Yeah.
Is there somebody over here?
I pulled up the budget.
Can you come and talk to the microphone so you can hear me on the record, please?
I know. We don't want to either.
I pulled up the budget, and I couldn't find anywhere where it's like, there's television budget, something like television there, and trick or treat.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't find anything in there that's going to be what those are.
Sure.
And then food caps.
So the restaurant tax is, so when you go to a restaurant, you pay an extra 1% sales tax, and that goes to a separate fund. It's not part of this general fund. It's its own separate fund that is, for tourism that's mandated by the state. So that money is used for like recreation or tourism type activities. Yes. So the revenues, it'll show the revenues coming in from that sales tax, and then the expenses of what that money was being used for.
Is there anywhere that's
more specific? No. I mean, you can always request more information on the detail on that. We can get you that. And then television thing. So if any of you go by just the
heavens,
and then antenna. Yeah, there's like 30 or 40 channels just by having that antenna.
I had a question, man. I had a question. I think it was $60,000 they were putting in to improve the streets. But in my view, they spent better than I can. But we brought in some events this year.
Might tell us events and how will that end? That will end for a long.
Also, we have so 3 weeks recreational. Is a county campground recreation area. So as we've, over the last several years, we've upgraded that area. We've attracted different events like the Utah State High School Mountain Bike Championships. We have another regional mountain bike race. Those events have actually infused over $1 million into our economy. Rock crawling, all of those things. So when we pay, you know, when we upgrade those facilities, we're actually, well, at the Utah Summer Games, or, you know, a year ago, we got a new director of the Utah Summer Games, which has nothing to do with the county. That guy is phenomenal in bringing in events, high school events.
It helps us with that.
And so.
So we get a percentage of that. So like sales tax, we get.
Tourism and advertising.
This is probably for another manufacturer standing, putting the campground, the automobiles.
Yeah, that's.
Let me address that real quick. So we're having a meeting next week with the BLM. In fact, I talked to one of the people at another meeting. And she said there may be funds available that the county and BLM can go in together, because that is a. The BLM. We're looking at that, absolutely.
And both of those recreation areas are BLM, they're not county, but we understand that, yeah, we understand the impact on our roads because of the.
They make this recreation area that runs in Malibu, and then people go 60 miles an hour up or 20 miles.
That's BLM.
Yeah.
Not BLM.
Oh, we're, yeah.
But you could put complaint to them, absolutely.
They have money for recreation stuff, but I would complain to them. Yes. You know, all these taxes, my taxes went up on my property this year, almost $250. And I don't get any sympathy. We got dirt roads that are so washboardy. It's not even funny. But all the new houses around us have got paved roads. Why don't we? That's not fair. We're paying for this.
Let me explain. What? So where do you live?
I can.
Okay. So something that's really been a problem in the county, back in the 70s, a lot of developers that would go out and say, brush and they take a blade and they go the road.
Well,
No. They take a road bed.
Beginning.
And take a road bender, and then blade the sagebrush, then sell lots to people, and the developer run off to California with the money. Okay, and then everybody, when they started using that road, would complain that the road was horrible, and they say we want our road fixed because this county road. No, we have to. We make developers bring roads to the roads you see in subdivisions. They have a certain standard. They have to over excavate those roads about 3 feet. They have to bring in like a 3-inch minus gravel.
Took
every road in the county and paid it for everybody, we'd have to triple the taxes. But we require developers to do as our standard, and then we'll take them over, we'll plow them with snow, and we'll maintain those roads. Because we get funds from the state to maintain those roads. But if some developer, like, I'll give you an example. Sunset Canyon out by Wichita on the other side, the developer came in there and he laid it on the dirt, and he chip sealed dirt. He didn't put any road base, he didn't put any gravel base. And those roads were horrible. And finally, all the residents got together out there, and they put it. We got a bid as a county, and we got several bids, and we hired a company to come in and fix all the roads. And they added about $20,000 to their tax bill to pay for the roads to give.
Well, I've been here since 2007, and I've been paying taxes for more than.
Who was your developer who developed your road?
They were exactly what it was.
So that's why, until you guys all get together as neighbors and decide to improve those roads the way they should have been done the first time, then we'll take them all for criticism and we'll maintain them. But until then, we won't. Because it's not fair to put that burden on everybody in the county that the developer should have done in the first place. Because you paid a lower amount of money for that lot because those roads weren't done.
No, I did not. No. I paid $85,000 for my lot.
They're way more than that now. with the asphalt roads, they're way more money. But that was back before. Now the county has them do that because it was such a huge problem all those years ago. Now when they do their subdivision, they have to bring those roads up to county standards, and then we take those over.
And you know, I pay taxes for stuff, and when I'm getting a service, I'm going to get it.
There's a Senate, are you on the Senate line? I can't go to conservancy district.
Yes.
So they have a meeting every month. You go to that meeting.
Some of them are, some of them aren't.
You go to that meeting and talk to them about the waters.
They are going to pull their down the valley.
Right. They're making improvements.
Well, all the roads that you come in on, that the big road that comes in front of Frythown. Yeah, so the next one, right in front of Frythown, yeah. We chip seal that, the county chip seal that. And a few years ago when they put some other improvements in there. And so all of the roads that you come out on are county roads that have been.
Yeah, one way in and one way out until we started building all those new subdivisions. So now we got.
The county gives you a lot of services. I mean, it doesn't probably feel like it because your road isn't very good, but we help pay for when you come in and use the swimming pool in here, or your kids play baseball in here, the parks if you come in, the library, we help pay for the library. You absolutely should go to the county and see if you can work out it.
Something that my taxes have loaded. And the next thing that I want to see something that, you know, is benefiting, and I don't see anything that's in the problem.
We have law enforcement that keeps
comes out if you have a problem.
That's our biggest budget item for law enforcement. Yes, sir.
Why not? When is that?
Oh, next Wednesday. No, it's actually going out west. No, it's actually we're going to meet with the BLM over another issue, and we are going to talk to them about that. But I talked to another one of the BLM employees the other day, and she said she was looking into it. If they had money in a pot somewhere else that they could use for that. Yep.
I still don't like the taxes. Nobody likes them. But I, for one, want to stand up and give each one of you, commissioners, a great big thank you for services for us people to do. All you guys really do appreciate you listening to all the people over complaints, because he comes listening to their complaints and listening to what you helps me to understand the tax issues and the budget problems that the county has. I just want to say thank you.
We appreciate that.
Wait up, Ryan County's employee. And I'm getting sick and tired of cut this, cut that. We need to look for better ways to save money, this and that. You guys are doing a great job. You guys are frugal, you guys are conservative. That was a joke. But you guys, you have integrity too. I don't know, I hear a lot of comments about you coming up sneakily and having his back. I don't understand that. So, you guys are doing a great job. They had on the roads out of the county. I was an employee of the road department for 23 years. Coming to 10 years. Went to complete the bottom, but there was a lot of issues on the roads in the county. People come into a subdivision that don't have roads that are maintained by the county because they're on a Class B system. Except funding comes from the state to maintain those roads. I live in Enoch. And I bought my house out there that was paid. All those improvements were there. I paid those improvements. I want to get spared the rest of the taxpayers that pay for somebody else's road to be approved. That's why you do that. Special improvement district. That's what it's still called. And those homeowners paid for those houses and those roads to be approved. The taxes they're paying now, they can cover those costs. So they can cost way more to improve those roads. Thanks for your. Great job, everyone.
Thanks, Wade. I know.
We appreciate everybody's efforts to come out tonight. We really do take these meetings to heart. You know, as we've met over the last year talking about different issues, we really have taken a lot of the suggestions that we've gotten from you guys. We really do appreciate your participation. We know that it's not convenient. Thank you for coming out tonight. If there are more individual questions and stuff that come up. The clerk's office is kind of the clearinghouse for that. But those concerns, those questions and stuff that come in the clerk's office are disseminated to us, and we'll help answer. We'll help answer those questions.
Well, 477-8340.
Our cell phones are on the county website.
I want to answer blind names.
Yes, ma'am.
The courthouse is by the liquor store.
I know. There used to be hot toddies in my childhood.
Yeah.
I think tonight's a good, it might be a good time for them. No, but thank you very much for coming out. We appreciate it.
You just want to announce that it's not going to be voted on tonight. Yeah. Just that,
but I mentioned
location,
that.
Send a time, date.
Yeah, so again, the vote on this will be November 25th, 10 a.m.
Gary?
If there are further comments, your neighbors, whatever, send them to the clerk's office for court job group that I can have done and the board calling. And we'll make sure that we relay those for the commissioners that are putting their desk on the regular schedule. On November 23rd.
These meetings are required to be in the evening after 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock or later. So that's state law. We have to do it in the evening. And it can't be during any other public meeting. So like Parowan has meetings on Thursday, Cedar, I think Wednesday, Enoch has them Tuesdays. So we can't do this meeting during those meetings. And it has to be in the evening. So I mean, Fridays or Monday nights, this is kind of our only option.
I'm not a damn good.